Review and Review, celebrating 40 years of audio production, welcomes you to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast, recorded from our studio in the Bishopriggs Media Centre and by our volunteers working from home. Keep up to date with Q and Review news via our Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at Q and Review, that's @CUEANDREVIEW. Or get in touch with us directly by emailing information@qandreview.com. That's information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. Please like and share our podcast and give us constructive feedback. We apologise for the brevity of today's podcast. Unfortunately, our colleague Bill, who normally reads the Glasgow Times sports stories, is still unwell at the moment. But hopefully we'll manage to cover him better this week. And we look forward to him returning in full health as soon as possible. Thank you.
This is from the Glasgow Times on Wednesday, the 29th of November, 2023. From the sports section. The Pyro Debate. Firework industry wants hardline stance on Scotland's pyro problem. Report by Matthew Lindsay, chief football writer. Two senior officials at the British Fireworks Association, BFA, have blamed the dramatic rise in pyrotechnic use in Scottish football on a failure to punish offenders appropriately, and warned the problem will only be addressed by introducing a meaningful deterrent. Steve Raper, the BFA chairman, and Fraser Stevenson, the vice chairman of an organisation which represents the fireworks industry, have been unsurprised to see numerous flashpoints involving flares, smoke bombs, strobes and rockets when Scottish teams have played this season. The cinch premiership match between Rangers and Dundee at Dens Park earlier this month was suspended shortly after it kicked off when fire alarms were triggered by flares which were set off by travelling supporters in the Bob Shankly stand. Raith Rovers launched an investigation at the weekend after one of their fans was struck and burned by a lit flare which was thrown by an away supporter at their Scottish Cup match against their Fife rivals Dunfermline at East End Park on Friday night. Elsewhere, Celtic this month cited the pyrotechnics display which the Green Brigade staged at their Champions League match against Feyenoord in Rotterdam in September as one of the reasons they had banned the Ultras group from Parkhead. Talks involving representatives of the SFA, the SPFL, the Scottish Government, the Football Safety Officers Association, as well as Police Scotland, were held at Hampden last week in response to the growing trend, and a coordinated action plan is set to be drawn up following the discussions. The BFA opposed the Fireworks and Pyrotechnics Article Scotland Act legislation that gave Police Scotland officers the power to search anyone they felt might be carrying a pyrotechnic outside of a stadium without warrant, which MSPs at Holyrood passed last year. Both Raper and Stevenson believe the high-profile incidents, which have taken place in grounds across Scotland and further afield during the past 4 months, prove that the Act has been completely ineffective. They are convinced that pyrotechnic use by fans at games will only be extinguished if far stiffer punishments, including heavier fines and longer football banning orders, start being handed out to offenders going forward. I was very surprised that the fireworks industry was not invited to take part in the talks, because we are the experts on this, said Raper. We are aware of where things can go right and where they can go wrong. When Holyrood were drawing up their firework legislation, we didn't just go to the Scottish Government and say, this won't work. No, we gave them solutions. But they told us they weren't going to follow our advice. We have seen a real reluctance to prosecute anyone north of the border for breaking the law, laws which already existed in recent years. But the Scottish Government decided to go out and create even more laws anyway. My view on this is, it is a football stadium where you go to watch football. There should be no flares, no smoke, no bangs, no cracks, no nothing. If you're found to have one in your possession, you should be banned for a year, banned for life even. For me, there is no deterrent at the moment. If you just got somebody at a football match who's waving around a flare that burns for 90 seconds, then his hands are going to be covered in green or red or blue dye, because that is what these things give off. If you identify him, grab him and ban him. His mates are not going to do the same thing in the following match. If you get the deterrent right, it works. But there is no deterrent as things stand. It is a crazy situation up in Scotland. Stevenson agreed. Currently, the misuse of fireworks, which includes pyrotechnics in Scotland, carries a maximum fine of £5,000 and up to 6 months in prison. But the average fine currently issued in Scotland is £147. If you are, say, a Celtic fan, and you want to take a green smoke bomb into Parkhead, you know the worst that is going to happen is you're only going to get fined £150. Where is the deterrent in that? There is none. I was in the working group for the legislation. That was one of the things we said. We said, look, you really need to get to grips with the deterrent factor. You need to get away from that £147 fines. You need to send out a clear message to people that this will not be tolerated. What happens in football stadiums is the willful misuse of pyrotechnics. It is not somebody not knowing that there is a curfew at 11 p.m. and setting a firework off at midnight. No, it is willful misuse. What we have said to them is that they have to send out a message that the willful misuse of any pyrotechnic will not be tolerated. But in that working group, there were numerous people who said, but we don't want to criminalise these people. So how are they going to sort this if they don't want to criminalise offenders? I don't know how they are going to do it. The Scottish Government seemed to think that giving the police the powers to stop and search people in the street would make a huge difference. But since the legislation has been introduced, the number of fireworks confiscated by police in Scotland in stop and searches has totaled 11. He added, the fact that people are having a conversation about what can be done about pyrotechnics in football highlights that the legislation the authorities called for and rushed through at Holyrood is not working. As I say, the industry warned the Scottish Government about this. We sat with the minister concerned and said, it is not going to work. It is not going to make any difference. But the police told the Justice Committee it would solve the problem. And we got told, well, you would say that. Until they start making a real example of people for willful misuse of fireworks at football stadiums and giving people, say, a £2,000 fine and 2 months suspended prison sentence, they will carry on doing it. That report was by Matthew Lindsay. This is from the Glasgow Times on Wednesday, the 29th of November, 2023, from the sports section. The pyro debate. Pyrotechnics expert warns about dangers of so-called cold flares. Report by Matthew Lindsay, chief football writer. Safe pyrotechnic sections were last night branded kindergarten corners by a firework industry expert amid growing calls for Scottish football to consider following the lead of Norway in a bid to snuff out their illegal use in the stands. Many fans would like to see the game in this country follow the lead of the Scandinavian nation and introduce areas inside stadiums where trained fans can set off specially selected flares and smoke bombs at agreed times if permission has been received from the club, police and fire service beforehand. However, Steve Raper and Fraser Stevenson, chairman and vice chairman of the British Fireworks Association, BFA respectively, believe they would not work here for a number of reasons and have also warned about the safety of so-called cold flares, which burn at a lower temperature. The authorities could bend over and say, OK, we are going to give you little kindergarten corners and stadiums where you can go to play with your pyrotechnics, said Raper. But that is totally the wrong approach. Stevenson added, in general, it is just not a good idea. Even with a smoke bomb, which does not produce a flame, what happens if the smoke bomb malfunctions? Anything that is man-made can. You have to be mindful of that. To get a bit technical, a smoke bomb is composed of a food colouring or dye and a form of sugar. It burns and as it burns it turns the dye into smoke. That smoke comes out a hole at the top. The hole is known as a choke. If the reaction occurs too quickly, or the smoke burns too quickly for the size of the choke, pressure will build up inside the smoke bomb. At best, the smoke will split if that happens. At worst, if the device is poorly manufactured, it will basically go bang, and it can go bang. That is what happened to the Rangers fan who was celebrating his side's Scottish title win in George Square back in 2021. He suffered quite a serious injury to his hand as a result. A video of that incident was posted online. Yes, that fan was holding a smoke bomb that was not approved for holding, but the safety instructions for most smoke bombs which can be held say that spectators should be 1 metre away. A whole group of people in a stand are not going to be 1 metre apart. Straight away, they are not able to achieve the safety requirements. For me, not doing it at all is the safest option. He continued, the cold flare that was invented in Denmark is certainly better than a distress flare. The distress flare intentionally burns at a far higher temperature, making it more difficult to extinguish, which is beneficial for its intended purpose. De Fontaine, the cold flare, is a nitrocellulose-based product which has coloured oxides added to produce the effect. But this product is not without risk, and the effect is more than capable of setting fire to flammable items such as clothing. Safe pyrotechnic sections, which are in place at many elite Serian clubs, have significantly reduced the illegal use of flares, smoke bombs and strobes at matches in Norway, have kept ultra groups happy, and have made stands far safer places for ordinary supporters. But BFA Vice Chairman Stevenson does not believe they would be effective in Scotland due to the mentality of the hardcore element of football clubs' fan bases. It's a cultural thing, he said. Maybe some countries in Europe where there is a different culture can get away with that. It is different over here. Where are they going to buy it? How is it going to be supplied? Who is going to test it? Is it going to be safe? Who is going to set it off? Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you necessarily should. Some countries can deal with safe pyrotechnic sections. Other countries, for reasons not necessarily associated with football, can't deal with it. That report was by Matthew Lindsay. This is from the Glasgow Times on Wednesday, the 29th of November, 2023. From the sports section. Rangers hero McCoist pokes fun at Celtic Champions League record. Article by Stuart Wilson. Rangers legend Ali McCoist left co-host Alan Brazil stunned after producing the stats over who has been awarded the most penalties in Scottish football. The former Scotland international joked that Celtic received their usual two penalties during the 1-1 draw with Motherwell, as he stated that the Parkhead club have received one more spot kick than the Light Blues so far this season. McCoist also explained a video on social media that had left him in stitches. Speaking on Talk Sport, he said, "Have some of that. I had written it down that I was going to have a go at you, and that was it. Celtic getting more penalties than Rangers. Have you seen the one of the wee fella falling down in the garden? He's playing in the garden and he trips over. And it goes to referee, and he goes, 'Penalty to Rangers! It's tremendous!'" The 60-year-old could also not resist a dig at Brendan Rodgers' men as he poked fun at the fact Celtic became the first British side in history to go 15 games in the Champions League without a win after their defeat to Lazio. "Celtic have made history!" he continued. "I'll read it. Brendan has put what down? 15 games without a win in the Champions League!" That article was by Stuart Wilson.
From the Glasgow Times, Friday, December the 1st, from the sports section. Brendan Rodgers reveals Celtic transfer target ahead of January window. Article by Ewan Payton. Brendan Rodgers admits he felt his Celtic squad was short of four quality players when he rejoined in the summer. The champions, of course, sold Jota for £25 million, while the likes of Aaron Moy retired from the game. The Hoops boss insists his aim was to add to the squad that was already in place from Ange Postecoglou's tenure. The ex-Liverpool and Leicester City manager says the club is working hard to address the recruitment of established type players over the next few transfer windows. He hopes this will help the club achieve its goal of progressing in the Champions League. The squad will come down to numbers, admitted the Irishman. Obviously, like I say, we need to add quality. There's no dressing that up for the group. They lost some really quality players in the summer, so that's something over the coming windows that we will look to improve on. I felt that when I came in during the summer, with the squad that was already in place from last season, we probably needed four players, quality players, to add to the squad. To continue to improve and to grow, you also need to have players that are established. The next step is a European side, and that's why I came back, to hopefully be able to fulfil that in my time here. Meanwhile, Mikey Johnson may not have played too much under previous Celtic manager Ange Postecoglou, spending a fair chunk of the time he was in Glasgow out on loan in Portugal. But it seems that he picked up a little of the Australian's famous stubborn streak when it comes to his attacking principles. That is a responsibility that comes, in Johnson's view, with wearing a Celtic jersey. And it appears his current manager, Brendan Rodgers, thinks an adherence to the fabled Celtic way of playing also comes with standing in the dugout, no matter what. And that article was written by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 1st of December, from the sports section, Cantwell versus Clermont Rangers feud addressed in Ins and Outs statement. Article by Aidan Smith. Derek McInnes has given his verdict on Philip Clermont's decision to substitute Todd Cantwell after just 35 minutes last night, insisting it was a surprise. The Englishman was hooked and replaced by youngster Ross McCausland, who ultimately grabbed the goal to ensure his side were not on the end of a shock defeat to the Cypriot outfit, Aris Limassol. Cantwell was visibly frustrated as he took his seat in the home dugout, and some supporters booed as the change was made. McInnes was also shocked by the early switch, and he was quizzed on whether he thinks there was more meaning behind the substitution rather than just a tactical switch. He told TNT Sports, "Possibly. You see the wee boy McCausland talking there since the manager asked him to give Rangers more width. Maybe that is a simple instruction that the manager was asking Cantwell to do, to hold his width more." Now, Cantwell isn't an out-and-out outside right winger, but maybe he has been asked to play there a wee bit more effectively just to maybe to try and create that space. You just don't know. If there is a frustration there, then nobody really knows the ins and outs of what had been asked of the player. I think Cantwell gives Rangers something. Even when he is not at his best, he's capable of producing big moments like against Prague. For me, it was a surprise. I have to say that. But the manager is paid to make these big decisions. McCausland comes on and he has the impact. The thing about him is that he always looks ready. In the few games that he has had, he has influenced. He's been bright and confident when given the ball. He will be disappointed that he maybe didn't pull the trigger with his second chance, but he probably had more touches than any other Rangers player in the second half. That really says a lot about him. He has met the responsibility that has been put on him so good on him for being ready. And that article was by Aidan Smith. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 1st of December, Sport. Clermont details Rangers' dressing room disappointment. Article by Ewan Payton. Philippe Clermont has revealed that last night was the first time he'd felt disappointed from his players since arriving at Rangers. The Belgian was unhappy with his side's performance as they stumbled to a 1-1 draw against Aris Limassol on Thursday evening. Ross McCausland scored a second half equaliser to rescue a point for the Ibrox club after Xavi Babica had the Cypriot minnows ahead. The result leaves Rangers needing a win when they travel to Seville in a fortnight to face group leaders Real Betis if they are to progress in the Europa League. If not, then it's Conference League football after Christmas. Clermont is eager to see how his players react to their first real setback since his arrival in October. "That's interesting again, how people come into the building," he said. This is the first time there is really a deception that I felt in the dressing room. They were not happy with their performance. That is a good thing when they were not happy with the performance. But now we need to stand up on Sunday and show our best level, what we're going to need to win that game. And this is about making the mind switch really fast every time and not losing confidence for whatever reason and show it from the first second when the game starts to go full and get the 3 points. We can have a discussion about tactical things, but if you want to have offensive fullbacks and offensive midfielders and always stay with 2 centre-backs and 1 number 6, then you're going to have a lot of transitions against. On the challenge of St Mirren, he added that they will make a wall and make transitions and set pieces like we have a lot of games in the Scottish League. So there will not be a big difference in that way, and they are going to fight until they die, and for them, games against Rangers is maybe the biggest game of the season. So we know that. And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 3rd of December, from the sports section, Celtic captain McGregor details Rodgers' character discussion. Article by Aidan McDonald. Celtic captain Callum McGregor insists manager Brendan Rodgers gave them character at half-time after their 3-1 victory against St Johnstone. The Scottish champions started sluggishly and went behind in the first half after a goal-line scramble, ended with Diallo Djaisimi being credited with the opening strike for the hosts. However, the Parkhead club improved in the second 45 minutes, with substitutes Mikey Johnson and Oh Hyung-Yu making an impact. First, a great strike from the Scotland international brought Brendan Rodgers' men level, before an even better finish from Matt Riley put the visitors in front. James Forrest finished the result off with a late goal after a last-gasp save from Joe Hart. And McGregor was delighted with a turnaround. He told Sky Sports, "We did not do ourselves justice at all in the first half, and the manager gave us our character at half-time. It was nowhere near good enough for a Celtic team, and he asked us for a reaction in the second half, and we scored 3 good goals. Joe makes a massive save for us at 2-1, and then we go and finish the game off. It was a match of 2 halves, but we produced a really good reaction. Once the goal comes, the place gets a lift, the supporters get a lift, and the players just start to move quicker and play with more aggression. It was an important goal, and there are 2 other important finishes as well." And that article was by Aidan McDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 3rd of December, from the sports section, McGregor makes Johnson Celtic man of the match suggestion. Article by Ewan Payton. Callum McGregor was the official man of the match as Celtic produced a second half comeback to beat St Johnstone this afternoon. But the hoop skipper did not agree with Sky Sports' decision, as he openly admitted that Mikey Johnson would be awarded. The Scotland international was full of praise for his club teammate who had made the desired impact at McDermott Park. Johnson was bright in the wing after being substituted at half-time. He has certainly given Brendan Rodgers food for thought regarding his position in the team moving forward. Post-match, the Republic of Ireland international was tasked with handing his Man of the Match award to his captain. But after doing so, McGregor suggested he would be getting it straight back, off camera. He said, "He was outstanding and he's been training like that for a while. It's brilliant to see him getting back in. He made a huge contribution and gave us a different dynamic as well. His quality on the ball and his running is everything we want from a winger, so I'm really delighted for him and you just keep going now." As Johnson handed over the award, Calmack responded, "Thanks mate, I'll give you it back later, don't worry." Meanwhile, Brendan Rodgers admits trailing St Johnstone 1-0 at the break today is the angriest he's ever been at half-time in his career. The champions came from behind to win 3-1 in Perth as they got back to winning ways domestically after last week's stalemate against Motherwell. Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly and James Forrest stepped up to the mark in the second half as their strikes cancelled out Diallo Djaisimi's opener. Rodgers gave his players a stern talking to in the dressing room at the interval, and it seemed to work the trick as he stormed back to claim all 3 points. And that article was by Ewan Payton. Rangers 2, St Mirren 0. Abdallah Sima bags deadly double. report by Ronnie Espling. An Abdallah Sima double got Rangers back to winning ways with a 2-0 cinch Premiership victory over St Mirren at Ibrox. Fulham came outside had drawn in their last two matches against Aris Limassol and Aberdeen, and the on-loan striker from Brighton quelled growing frustration in the stands when he broke the deadlock for the unimpressive home side with a strike just before the break. The light blues grew stronger in the second half, and Sima grabbed a second in the 70th minute with a fine finish to take his tally for the season to 11, with Rangers moving back to 8 points behind leader Celtic having played a game fewer. Clement extended his unbeaten run to 10 games since taking over as boss, but would require much more from his side if they are to topple the champions. A much-changed Rangers started the game 11 points behind Celtic, who beat St Johnstone at McDermott Park earlier in the day. Clement brought in winger Ross McCausland, Conor Golson, Leon Balogun, Tom Morris and Cyril Dessers, while Buddy's boss Stephen Robinson also rung the changes, with Jonah Ayinga, Ryan Flynn, Richard Tabor, Callum Boyd-Munns drafted in. The early stages were mostly uneventful. In the fourth minute, a Dessers attempt from skipper James Tavernier's corner was saved comfortably from Saints keeper Zach Hemming, before the Gers striker turned a Tavernier cross past the post from close range. Todd Cantwell, replaced after just 35 minutes of the 1-1 Europa League draw against Aris Limassol on Thursday night, was moved from the right wing into the middle and looked more comfortable, but he was off balance when Tavernier headed back a Borna Barisic cross and the ball was cleared. It was all pretty dull as Sima headed a Tavernier cross just over the bar in the 23rd minute, just before St Mirren defender Marcus Fraser was booked by referee Matthew McDermott for time-wasting at a throw-in. Saints had their moments. A Scott Tanzer cross just defeated the unmarked Ayunga before Gers keeper Jack Butland turned a Boisman shot past the post for a corner, which was defended. The game looked to be heading to the interval goalless before Sima, who recently became a father, struck. McCausland, Dessers and Cantwell lined up well, and as the latter jinked inside the box to tee up a shot, Sima took the ball off his toes and thundered a drive past Hemming from 12 yards to cheers of relief. St Mirren started the second half positively, and again Butland was required to save an Ayunga shot past the post for the first of three successive corners, which came to nothing. Hemming beat away a powerful Tavernier shot and blocked a Dessers drive, his last real contribution before being replaced by Brazilian striker Danilo, as Rangers responded, and Cantwell and McCausland began to affect proceedings. When Cantwell put Sima through and goal with a stunning pass, the Senegal striker guided the ball low past Hemming with a VAR check confirming he was not offside and, with that, the 3 points were remaining at Ibrox. And that report was by Ronnie Espelin. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 3rd of December, from the sports section. Rangers boss Clement highlights Lawrence's new role vs St Mirren. Article by Stuart Wilson. Rangers boss Philippe Clement has praised midfielder Tom Lawrence for the new role he played during the 2-0 victory over St Mirren. A double from Abdallah Sima secured the 3 points for the Ibrox side as they returned to winning ways after back-to-back draws. And Clement was keen to highlight Lawrence's contribution. Speaking to Rangers TV, he said, "To win in that way and almost give nothing away while having control of the game and getting good chances, I am really happy with the players starting and the players coming in. We did not reward ourselves in the last two games, and today we did, although it could have been more than two. Keeping a clean sheet by not taking too many chances, I think there was one really good save from Jack, Butland from distance, is important. There were also a couple of interesting things, such as Tom Lawrence in a new role. Okay, there were some different circumstances with injuries, but we had to find solutions and he played a really important role in the football we wanted to play. It is very important that everyone is available for the team in every position, and they are doing that. You see players starting and players coming in. Everyone is involved and is taking their chances, and that is an important thing for the next couple of weeks because we have plenty of important games." Sima's two goals take him up to 11 for the season as he continues to make an impact on loan from Brighton. The forward also recently became a father for the first time, and paid tribute to the new addition to his family during his celebrations. And Clement hopes the 22-year-old's run of form can continue. He took both his goals really well, and we spoke to him about that this week with him, he added. We told him he needs to be in the box more, and be really hungry to score goals as he has plenty of power and a good shot. He has had a few good weeks. Last week he gets a baby and now he scores 2 goals. Hopefully, he has a really good Christmas period. And that article was by Stuart Wilson. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 3rd of December, from the sports section. Rangers hero lucky to be alive after brain tumour op. Article by Rosie Lewis. Michael Moles has said he's lucky to be alive after an emergency operation to remove a golf ball side tumour from behind his eye. The Rangers hero was taken to a hospital in Amsterdam for the life-saving procedure in October. In a recent interview, the 52-year-old said he initially thought that the balance problems he was having were caused by a knee injury. It was not until his family noticed a change in his personality that something more sinister was happening. An emergency MRI revealed Moles had a 2-inch tumour behind his left eye that required an 8-hour operation to remove. The striker told the Daily Record, "Initially, I thought I'd be fine, that I'd recover and not have a problem. I didn't realise what they were saying to me, the risks they were warning me of. When my family heard I had a brain tumour and was going for surgery, they were all very emotional, but I was relaxed. But now I realise why they reacted that way, and I realise just how lucky I am to be here, alive and feeling healthy again. Having learned what could have happened, I'm just so thankful for that. Surgery to remove brain tumours can have several side effects, including impacting speech and mobility. Moles played for Glasgow Rangers between 1999 and 2004 as a striker." And that article was written by Rosie Lewis. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 3rd of December, from the sports section. St Johnstone 1, Celtic 3, comeback win for the champions. Article by Gavin McCafferty. Celtic survived a stoppage time scare as they came from behind to beat St Johnstone 3-1 in Perth. Celtic trailed Dialan Jayesimi's first goal for St Johnstone at half-time after failing to deal with an in-swinging corner for the second weekend running. Motherwell netted a late equaliser at Parkhead from the same source. Craig Levein again threatened to mastermind Brendan Rodgers' first league defeat as Celtic manager, as his hoops took their time to get back in the game. Levein was manager of Hearts when the Jambos ended Rodgers' 69 match unbeaten domestic start to his first Celtic reign in December 2017. But Callum McGregor netted with a powerful strike in the 67th minute, and Matt O'Reilly hit his 7th cinch Premiership goal of the season 11 minutes later when he finished brilliantly from 22 yards. The final outcome, though, hinged on 2 incidents and time added on. Saints substitute J. Turner Cook headed off the post from 7 yards before Celtic broke seconds later and Tomoki Iwata squared for fellow sub James Forrest to guide the ball home. Celtic had looked set to sweep Saints aside in a dominant start. Kyogo Furuhashi and O'Reilly could not make the most of decent chances in the penalty box inside the first 6 minutes. Centre forward Jayesimi, making only his 3rd Saints appearance, forced a save from Joe Hart from the host attack after holding off Liam Scales, but Celtic continued to press. David Turnbull saw a goal disallowed after a clear offside against Yang Hyun-jun, and the former Motherwell midfielder was soon denied by a brilliant diving stop from Dimitar Mitov after turning onto his left foot on the edge of the box. Saints grew into the game and put Celtic under a bit more pressure in the final third before taking advantage of Graeme Carey's in-swinging corner. O'Reilly could only knock the initial contact back towards goal and, after several players competed for the ball on the line, the midfielder's next attempted clearance bounced off Jayesimi and spun in. Hart claimed for a foul, but referee Don Robertson had seen no foul and his view was backed by a video assistant referee, Kevin Clancy. Mikey Johnson came on for Yang at half-time, but there was another scare for Celtic when Cameron Carter-Vickers took a poor touch in his box. Carey shot first time into the side net. McGregor opened the Saints' defence with a through ball to Furuhashi, but Mitov was going quickly to block the Japan striker's shot. Oh Hyung-yu came on for Turnbull, and the South Korean striker played a key role in the equaliser 9 minutes later. Oh controlled Johnson's low cross at the near post, and backheeled the ball across the face of goal. Mitov palmed it out, and James Brown's clearing header fell invitingly for McGregor, who drilled home first time from 16 yards. McGregor had a long-range effort saved before Celtic went in front after taking advantage of a rare chance to catch St Johnson on the back foot after winning the ball following a home throw. Furuhashi laid the ball off to O'Reilly, who took a touch and smashed a shot with his weaker right foot high into the net from 22 yards. Forrest replaced the injured Lewis Palma and quickly forced a good parry from Mitov before having the final say. And that report was by Gavin McCafferty. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 4th of December, Sport. Brendan Rodgers provides Maeda and Abada Celtic injury update. Article by Aidan MacDonald. Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers has confirmed that both Liel Abada and Daizen Maeda are back in training as they continue their return from injury. The Israel international has been out of action since sustaining an injury while playing for his country in September, while the Japanese winger is doing rehab on a knee issue he picked up against Atletico Madrid. And Rodgers explained how Maeda is slightly ahead of his progress and that Abada is back on the grass. He said, Liel and Daizen are both on the pitch now, which is great news for us. Daizen is a little bit ahead of Liel, but I am expecting them both to be available at some point this month. Competition is sometimes the best coach you can have in the game, and that is something you always want. The players coming back have been important for Celtic, and important for me especially, Daizen, because he has played a lot more. The competition is important because you need to have that drive, but you cannot transfer that. I have said before that you can create a great environment and have excellent facilities and great coaching, but you cannot transport willpower. Both are back out in the pitch again and with medical rehabilitation team, and hopefully it will not be too long till they are back with the squad again. Article by Aidan MacDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 4th of December, Sport. Celtic's O'Reilly opens up on surprising goal against St Johnson. Article by Aidan MacDonald. Celtic midfielder Matt O'Reilly has revealed he surprised himself with his stunning strike against St Johnson. The Denmark international scored from distance to put the Scottish champions ahead in a game that ultimately ended 3-1 to Brendan Rodgers' men. And the 23-year-old explained how doing Pilates has improved his performance on the pitch. He said, I surprised myself a bit with it. It was nice. My first thought after it went in was how stable I felt in my body. It's the best goal I've ever scored with my right foot. I just felt very stable in the ball. Recently, I've been practicing a lot with my right foot. It made me more stable and more effective. So, if I can add that to my game as well, it will be very helpful. I started it when I was younger at Fulham because I had a few back problems. I've started to get back into it in the last year or so and find it very beneficial. I do it outside of the club as well. I do my own stuff here at the club and just try to keep on top of everything away from the club as well. It helps with all sorts. It helps with injury prevention. It helps with just general stability on the pitch. If you want to protect the ball, you're more balanced and more robust. I think it's important if you want to have a long career, and I'm someone who wants to play for a long time. I didn't realise how good all the link-up play before it was until I watched it back. I don't think you ever realise at the time, but upon further reflection, it was nice. And that article was by Aidan MacDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 4th of December, from the sports section. Rangers AGM 2023. Date, time, live stream and resolutions. Article by Stuart Wilson. Philippe Clement has steadied the ship at Rangers after a tough start to the season. And now the Ibrox side are set to have their annual general meeting where shareholders can question the board about the goings on at the club over the last 12 months. Here is everything you need to know ahead of the event. When is Rangers AGM? The Light Blues AGM takes place tomorrow on Tuesday December the 5th at Edmondson House. It begins at 10:30 a.m.
Can I live stream Rangers AGM? While it is unclear if the meeting will be available to watch live, it has been filmed and uploaded to the club's YouTube channel over the last 2 years, with this likely to be the case once again. What resolutions will be voted on? Resolution 1. To receive the annual report and accounts for the year ended June 30th, 2023. Resolutions 2-5. Reappointment of directors. Resolutions 6 and 7. Appointment and remuneration of auditors. Resolution 8. Authority to allot shares. Article by Stuart Wilson. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 4th of December, from the sports section. Rangers Europa League rivals Real Betis hit with major blow, by Mark Walker. Real Betis have been hit with a further huge blow ahead of next week's Europa League showdown with Rangers, with another World Cup winner struggling to make the game. Rangers need to either win in Spain in the final game in the group, or match Sparta Prague's result against Aris Limassol in the other match to go through. Real Betis were already reeling after 80-time cap Portuguese midfielder William Carvalho was ruled out until Christmas after picking up a hamstring injury. And Argentina's World Cup winner Guido Rodriguez is also out for the game through suspension. And his international colleague German Pizzala, who came on as a sub in Argentina's Qatar 2022 triumph against France in the final, has now picked up a hamstring strain in Betis' weekend draw at Almeria. Real Betis boss Manuel Pellegrini said, "German felt some discomfort in his hamstring. We're going to check him to see how he is for the week. He has noticed something. We have to hope it's not too bad, but we can't afford to take chances and took him off immediately." Betis are also without two midfielders, Chadi Rayad and Sergi Altamira, because they didn't register them for the European competition. Meanwhile, Michael Stewart has drawn comparisons between Philippe Clement and Cyril Dessers that show the Rangers manager's treatment of Todd Cantwell is not a one-off thing. On Thursday night, the former Norwich City attacking midfielder was substituted in front of a packed Ibrox crowd in their Europa League fixture against Aris. An unusual sight in football, it came after just 35 minutes. The Englishman was visibly frustrated with the decision he took as he took to the dugout. Post-match, Clement explained that he had spoken to Cantwell and they were both on the same wavelength regarding the issue. And that article was by Mark Walker.
That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at QNReview and to tell your friends about our service.